AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
app. ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Idalia losing steam as it moves over Georgia and the Carolinas, but the storm is still packing winds of up to 85 miles an hour. Mayor Brenda Bethune says South Carolina's Myrtle Beach should get ready.
The main thing for us is to encourage people to stay off of the beaches and out of the water. We still have a lot of tourists in the area, and for them, this is a sightseeing event, and that's not what this is.
Storm damage assessment still underway in Florida, where Idalia hit as a Category 3 hurricane.
We have over 1,000 personnel currently deployed, prepared to support not just Florida, but all of our states that are in the path as needed.
FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell. White House says Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin have exchanged letters as Russia tries to purchase more munitions from North Korea to use in its war in Ukraine. One of the reporters at a Kansas newspaper raided by authorities earlier this month has filed a federal lawsuit against the police chief that ordered that search. This is ABC News. The Biden administration approving a military transfer to Taiwan. The $80 million package approved under a program usually reserved for sovereign or independent states. More proof of rising COVID-19 cases.
The CDC no longer tracks daily COVID cases, so wastewater samples collected are the best indicator of COVID activity. In the San Francisco Bay Area, COVID's presence in wastewater is going up noticeably, which is in line with what doctors at hospitals say they're seeing. Dr. Marlene Wolf is a project director of the Wastewater Scan Project. She says numbers were super low over the summer, and now that's changing.
And now we have gone up into kind of what we would consider the middle level tier.
With a fall booster shot probably not available for weeks, it's expected numbers will keep rising. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Drivers west of Toronto urged to keep their car windows closed after a truck carrying 5 million bees spilled its crates on the road. Andy Field, ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood
Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
down he goes.
Won't...
intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK, 1260 AM, Lake Air, Emory.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
All right, now because we started with that opener, I have a very important question before I get to the other important question of the day. Would you buy an As Goes Wisconsin shirt that says, don't yuck my yum? 844-967-2789. I got a DM or a comment on social media, I think it was a couple of days ago, and so I was like, I'm just waiting for the opportunity to have a don't yuck my yum t-shirt. And I was like, all right, we'll add it to the idea of the ideas for merch. But would you wear that shirt, Greg?
Only the important questions on Ask Us.
Only the important questions. I do have another question.
Yeah, I would totally wear a don't yuck my yum. I would wear a vast array of merchandise coming out of the As Goes Wisconsin.
We still have to make, what else is on our
Oplander
list? Oplander, don't yuck my yum.
We've missed the ball on
Centennial, whatever. Yeah. Although I did pitch that idea to a couple people, and they're like, I don't know what that would mean. So I don't
well,
know.
That's why it says ask me about.
Yeah, that's true. What other ideas have we come up with? I had someone pitch a onesie in for my pending baby of having a onesie that says, shh, I'm listening to Ask Us Wisconsin as a onesie.
Oh, that's funny. That's
if
funny.
You have merch ideas, we would love to hear them. But also, if you would buy a Don't Yuck My Yum Ask Us Wisconsin t-shirt, should we add that to the list of things that we may launch our own merch store? What other things do we say a lot? I think I say I digress a fair amount. But I don't know if that's like, I can't really coin that as mine.
I mean, it could still be your phrase. I mean, that's a phrase. It's, you know, we'll have to start writing things down, like what our catchphrases are. We need some catchphrases.
We need some catchphrases.
Some sweet catchphrases.
Anyways, if you have opinions on that, we would love to hear them. 844-967-2789. Or if you're listening to this as a podcast, which you can always do at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple. You know Stitcher's ending?
What?
I keep getting ads on some of my podcasts saying that Stitcher's closing its doors.
That doesn't surprise me, honestly, because, I mean, there's so many places to get podcasts.
Yeah. But also shoot us an email. At asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. All right. Next real question. The era of the 9-to-5 workday may be over. Is that a bad thing? I say no. But this obviously only applies to people who work in offices, like people who are nurses, people who are teachers, even people who work in offices but need the equipment that like is at the office. Like if you are working on hardware at Apple, or if you are, you know, I guess software you can do from anywhere, but like if you were actually building something. But for the jobs, for so many of the jobs that now all you need is an internet connection, is the necessity of being in the office from 9 to 5, that ending, is that such a bad thing? I say no. What say you, Greg?
I think you have to evolve. Some places may need to have that for the reason, but no, like it infuriates me how many businesses were just arbitrarily saying, time to come back to the office. Well, why? I'm doing the work I'm doing from home. I can get it done in less time. So how about a 4-day work week? Get Friday or Monday off, or I pick a day, but I'm still getting the work done. Let's evolve this standard. Let's evolve this idea. This 9 to 5 must do, 2 weeks of vacation. No, it's not. It doesn't work.
Well,
for everyone.
This is different than, at least where I'm going with this, is different than working from home. So this is talking about workers are returning to the office, but the 9 to 5 straitjacket might be gone.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they may be coming to the office, but they're not just necessarily staying for 8 hours anymore. So this is from Washington Post that I found this this story. But they said, as more companies tell American workers to return to their cubicles for 2, 3, or even 4 days a week, part of the new wave of even tougher return to office mandates kicking in this fall, one thing is clear. The era of sitting at your desk from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. is over. Instead, in a transformative shift to the workday, employees are cashing in on an unspoken new flexibility. They are returning to the office on their own terms, coming in late after a workout or leaving early to grab groceries or pick up their children before logging back on. So they are logging back on, but they're doing that part from home. And so how do we know that people are doing this? In most of the country, only about half of office visits now last for more than at least 6 hours at a time, according to Wi-Fi data from Basking, which I'd never heard of that company before. It's a workplace occupancy analytics firm. Who knew? There's something for everything. But so most majority of visits pre-pandemic, 84% lasted 6 hours or more. So there's a ton of people who are they're going back to the office, but they're just not staying. And I kind of keep coming back to, if you get your work done, is that such a bad thing?
No, it's not. I used to work for a company that they were very generous with their time off, with their vacation, but they also said, hey, you know, we don't want you to take a day off of work to do chores, to go to the doctor, if you need to take off early, take a half day, that's fine. You know what you do in the pay period? Make up those 4 hours. So you had a flexibility.
Was it an hourly wage job or was it was salary?
It was still salary, but you had to clock in, essentially let them know when you got in, let them know when you left, and just kind of just gave, they trusted you, and nobody abused this because we didn't want to lose it either. And I think, you know, I do think that the 9 to 5 work, for one thing, the 9 to 5 work week or work day is ridiculous. I mean, come on.
But what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, how many places really, like, unless you're like clocking in and clocking out, you know, the old adage on Office Space, I say in a work week, I get done about 20 minutes of actual work done. You know what I mean? Like, we're not working 9 to 5. We're probably working 10 to 3. And the rest of the time,
playing solitaire?
Solitaire meetings, quote unquote meetings, where it's like, we're not really meeting. We're just hanging out.
Well, and that's another question of, because when you're a shift worker who has to be at the, so if you work in a restaurant and there has to be enough people at the restaurant to make the restaurant run or the fast food place run or the retail shop, Like, there is, you are paying for someone's time to literally be there. But in office work, are you paying for their time or are you paying for their output? And I don't know if that's always clear. Like, I don't know if that's made clear. Like, I think about this all the time. We've yet to talk about this topic, but this was back in May. There was an Axios article talking about the silent killer being toxic ambiguity at the workplace.
Whoa.
Where part of really inefficient work environments is when you don't know what your job is. You're like, I don't know what I'm being measured on. I don't know what my job expectations are. And like, so that's kind of a different topic. But I think about that too, is like, what are you getting paid for? Are you getting paid for your time when it's an office job?
Yeah.
Are you getting paid for your time, which is the expectation is you're working 40 hours a week, or are you getting paid for your performance? And if you work in marketing, like your campaigns are out on time and your analytics are accurate and the reports that you have to run. If you're a salesperson, you're hitting your quota, you're hitting your meeting numbers. If you are a radio host, you get to work and you actually do a show every day.
Well, and I think the jobs that you're talking about right there, those are jobs, and my wife works in banking, and I can tell you this right now, those are jobs that go far and beyond the 9-to-5 standard. Most people who work in those kinds of jobs are working late night, early weekends, taking their laptop with them on vacation. You know, I don't want to say there's an expectation. Well, there is an expectation, which I personally don't like. I feel like sometimes you just need to shut off. But a lot of people in those jobs don't know how to. They've worked their entire life to get where they want to be. So, yeah, if you say, like, this job's going to require you to work 60, 70 hours a week beyond that 9-to-5, most people are in those situations are going to be like, yeah, that's what I expected to do. That's, yeah.
Yeah. But, again, so that feels like you are paying for people's output. There's an expectation of what needs to get done in the job to do it well. So, and the expectation is that to do that well, it takes more than 40 hours a week. But I don't know if that's said explicitly.
I mean, I think to do it well, I don't know. I've never been in a job like that myself. I would probably end up burning out myself, like, because that's just not how. But then again, I also have 9-to-5 jobs, so you know. But I think that as far as like the 9-to-5 work week, that traditional thing, I don't know if it's gone because there's a lot of people who still do it. But I think it does need to evolve to a certain extent.
Well, what say you? 844-967-2789. Is the 9-to-5 dead? And is that a bad thing? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We will take your calls and your texts on the topic when we come back. And also, there is one company that seems to have figured this out where their employees are actually happy about their return to work plan. And it may surprise you who it is and what they make. But we will go over what that what they're doing and see if that seems like something that would work for people when we come back. But this is As Goes Wisconsin, looking to take your calls and texts on, is the 9-to-5 over? And is that a bad thing?
Also, we got some texts.
Great. We'll read those when we come back.
This is
As Goes Wisconsin.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up.
Teachers learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 49 overnight under mainly clear skies. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 77. Lows dip down to about 57 tomorrow night. Partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday with daytime highs approaching 85. 91 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 55.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And we are asking if the era of the 9 to 5 workday is over, for at least for corporate office workers. And if so, is that such a bad thing? 844-967-2789. I think both Greg and I say no. But I also think it comes back to the employer to expect, to set the expectations when you're hired of, are we paying for your time or are we paying for your output? And are we paying for the results of you completing your job? And if that takes you less time versus more time, that is fine. And also the expectation of when you're in the office and why you're in the office. I think that comes back to so much of like setting expectations from the get-go versus saying things after the fact and having some kind of BS reason why that's what we're doing now. But, you know, it's interesting because so many of the big companies that you think would have the most flexibility is not only, you know, this originally started because it's people are maybe going into the office, but are they staying for the full day? How do you measure that? How do you expect for the, like, are you expecting them to stay the whole day? Or is it just that they're there for in-person meetings? But there are more and more companies that are saying, we're coming back. Meta, aka Facebook, is requiring 3 days a week in the office starting in September. Zoom, which was, you know, the poster child of remote pandemic work and what allowed all of us to work basically remotely, is asking their workers to come in twice a week. President Biden is urging federal workers to return to the office this fall. And at Amazon, well, they walked out earlier this year, but in a fireside chat earlier this month, CEO Andy Jassy told employees, it's past the time to disagree and commit to the company's return to office policy or else look for another gig. The exact quote was, it's probably not going to work out for you at Amazon if you're not coming back to the office.
It's time to stop arguing and do it my way.
Do it my way.
Yeah. We do have a text coming in on the topic here from the 262. I think the 9-to-5 work week is at least on its way out, thankfully. My workplace has a 37.5-hour work week and allows employees to work overtime on 4 days so they don't have to, so they can have an afternoon off. We're all happy about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. the, you know, the adapting, the remodeling of it. How do you get your workers to work happiest, best? Talk to them. You guys want to work a 4-day work week? Awesome. Like, if that's going to get you to work harder and work smarter and work happier, then great. And that builds morale for the company, too.
For sure. And I also think we have a comment from Tony on the YouTube live stream, which you can always watch on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, if you want to see us along with hear us. Tony says, I work from a laptop and I love the flexibility it gives me to work on something at 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. I struggle with limiting working to 40 hours a week, though, and balancing work family time. So that's the other thing. It's like when you work from home, having your own boundaries of when are you not working?
Yeah, that's something I struggle with a lot, especially with the club.
Yeah, I bet. So how much do you, like, for you with the club, because that seems like a thing where you go to the club and then you are working with the club. So how much do you feel like you bring home with you?
I bring it all home with me. I mean, unless it's a physical item, and it's like, you know, I can be done at the club on an afternoon, and then as I'm driving home, I can come home to 4 or 5 messages from my business partners talking about various things, whether it's booking or that kind of thing. So you're never truly done until, like, I always say 10 o'clock because 10 o'clock is when Slack will turn the messages off. And you don't get anything until the next day, but I can still check and I'm on call. I'm still working. I'm still available all the time.
But for you, when you think of your work at the club, do you think of yourself as a business owner or as an employee?
Business owner.
See, and I think that's a totally different game.
Well,
because I think when you're an entrepreneur, you never turn it off. But when you're employed by someone, the agreement is that you are getting a salary from your boss. And what is the expectation between you and your boss?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, sure.
And so, like, I never turn. You think I ever turn off As Goes Wisconsin? Like, in my brain? No. I have no. And that's the most interesting thing for me of what's going to change when this kid gets here is, like, will that shift? Or in these 3 months when I'm gone, do I still, like, we could be doing this, we could be doing that, I should be working on this, here's my list of like a million projects I want to do when I get back? Or am I finally going to be like, oh, I'm going to reevaluate my priorities?
Yeah, man. As Goes Wisconsin is just going to be a stream of consciousness, 2-hour show, man.
We're just going to really start phoning it in from now on. No one will notice. I would still love to hear your opinions on this, especially if you currently work a 9-to-5 and you've seen increased flexibility and what that has done or not done for your work ethic, for your output. 844-967-2789. Is the era of the 9-to-5 workday dead? And is that a bad thing? 844-96-PARTY. So the Wall Street Journal just covered a company that may have actually figured it out. I'd be interested to see if you think that this would work for you. Well, how much time we got, Greg?
About a minute. Sorry about that.
All right. Well, I'll tease it. So the company, I haven't thought of this company in so long, but they have some good products. It's JM Smucker, as in Smucker's Jam, Jif Peanut Butter, and my personal kid favorite, Uncrustables. Have you had an Uncrustable?
Yeah.
They're so good. They're really good frozen, by the way. And they also make less of a mess frozen. Yeah. But Smucker's has actually maybe figured out how to handle their employees coming back to work without sacrificing flexibility. So we will talk about that when we come back. We'll also go through the good, the bad, and the depends on who you ask of headlines for today. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We would still love to hear from you on the 9-to-5 topic, 844-967-2789. And if you have merch ideas for us to sell, we're going to take your ideas. Give them to us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. For us.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Idalia losing steam as it moves over Georgia and the Carolinas, but the storm is still packing winds of up to 85 miles an hour. Mayor Brenda Bethune says South Carolina's Myrtle Beach should get ready.
The main thing for us is to encourage people to stay off of the beaches and out of the water. We still have a lot of tourists in the area, and for them, this is a sightseeing event, and that's not what this is.
Storm damage assessment still underway in Florida, where Idalia hit as a Category 3 hurricane.
We have over 1,000 personnel currently deployed, prepared to support not just Florida, but all of our states that are in the path as needed.
FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell. White House says Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin have exchanged letters as Russia tries to purchase more munitions from North Korea to use in its war in Ukraine. One of the reporters at a Kansas newspaper raided by authorities earlier this month has filed a federal lawsuit against the police chief that ordered that search. This is ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are talking about the 9-to-5 workday and how it is evolving. Even as people are going back to the office, they aren't staying for 8 hours necessarily. And is that such a bad thing? 844-967-2789.
Yeah, we got another text coming in from the, Let's see here. The 414. This is from a teacher. It's very interesting. Teaching never was a 40-hour week, quote-unquote, job. Usually I was doing lab prep. I was a science teacher by 6:30 a.m. and left about 5:30 p.m. It was one of the reasons I retired. Even though I loved what I was doing, I didn't have the energy to do it the way it needs to be done. Of course, I had just turned 70 when I retired. Whoa, Mother Glory.
I think you had earned it at that point.
Yeah, right. And then we have another text from Lynn in Oconomowoc. In my opinion, employers will believe that if you can finish your work in 30 to 35 hours, you need more work.
Yeah.
My daughter was hired 100% remote. She is now being pressured to come in for a quote-unquote few hours each week. Word from her team leader is that the industry is expecting a surge in COVID by October, more contagious than ever. My grandson's other grandparents just brought COVID home from Italy. They didn't wear masks and shared it with the grandson, and he picked it up with them at Mitchell Field. So that's Lynn Bauer in Oconomowoc.
Is her daughter a nurse? What's the connection between COVID and?
Well, I think part of it was saying her daughter was working remote, is now being encouraged to come in. But now that there is expected to be a surge of COVID in the coming months, and then she was just giving us a little story that the grandparents on the other side brought COVID home from Italy. So
got it.
Half message, half wear your mask.
Also that. But yes. So I don't know. You know, it's interesting. I think I kind of just come back to the expectation that the employer sets. Like, I think this comes down to if you go into a job and it is explained that this is what we expect of you, then you know what you're signing up for. It's like when you change the rules that people get disgruntled and say, well, this is not necessarily what I signed up for. Or, you know, and like it happens all the time. You get a new boss and the new boss wants to do it a different way. And so you have to, you know, I know you have to be flexible, but as far as the finding the balance from what the company needs versus also the company needs satisfied employees, I think it also comes back to what are you actually measuring and what is the thing that gets you the best results versus kind of an arbitrary old school mentality of, well, that's just the way we've always done it. 844-967-2789. We got Gary from Sussex on the phone. Gary, what do you think?
Well, I'm a heating contractor, so there is no 40-hour for me. I'm on call 24 hours a day. Now, I used to work for another company. This is my own company I have now. And when you work for somebody on call 24 hours a day, it is like brutal. I mean, just anticipating, you can't even go out. And if you do go out, you know, you have to have your phone next to you that if it rings, you have to go out on a service call. But when you own your own company, it's totally, totally different psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 71 years old and I'm not ready to retire. So it is different when you're working for somebody working more than 40 hours a week. You know what I'm saying? I like the idea for just a normal person. I'd like these 4-day weeks and then have the weekend off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you work 10 hours. To me, that seems like a good thing. But for me, I work all the time. I get calls at 2:00 in the morning, you know, so I'm used to it.
But you agree that there's an ownership value, like there's a shift in mindset when you're the owner.
100%.
Yeah.
Because I did it. I was at a company for 35 years and I was the manager of the company, but I still wasn't the owner. So I was still working for the man. And now I work even more than I did before, and I feel less stressed because it's my business, you know?
Totally.
And it's my name on everything.
Gary, let me ask you one more question before I let you go. So had you, sure, as a manager of the other company, but not the owner, had you been given equity in the company? So like you, like profit sharing, do you think that would have shifted your mentality?
Well, yes, I did get profit sharing.
Oh, you did?
When I retired, yes. Oh, absolutely. But I wasn't the only person. Every single person that worked at this company was vested. Now,
okay.
The longer you're there, the more money you get. So you're like, it's like a piece of pie, okay? When you're there the first year, you get one little slice of piece of pie about the size of a pencil lead. But I was there 35 years, so I ended up getting like 25% of all the profits. And there was $250,000 we spread, we divvied out between everybody. So as people would come and they'd quit all the time, my piece of pie got bigger. But when there's people that stayed longer, then the pie didn't grow. So, yeah, it did. You know, it was nice having that because when I retired, I got myself a really nice nest egg. But I started my business as soon as I they sold the business, Kristen, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up starting a business. I was too young. I was a youngster. I was 61 when they, you know, I wasn't ready to retire. And now I'm 71, and I had my business for 10 years. And I'm planning on working until I drop.
Until you can't?
Find my body in the basement. Yes, I love
Well, I hope you take some vacations, you know, Gary.
It's hard, but I do sometimes. You know,
I love that. And that.
Not for me. Thanks so much for the call, Gary. Because I think that's also interesting is, like, the incentivizing of people when, like, there is something to be gained from the company succeeding. I also think that that is a shift in like, I'm employing you to do a job so that my company can do better versus I'm employing you and you will also benefit as the company benefits. And I don't like that was like whatever company that he was working for, like that's an impressive. I don't think you hear about that as much anymore.
No, you don't. But those are usually small companies run by people who have an idea of either A, really want to look after their people, or B, worked in a job where they weren't looked after and said, well, now this is my business. This is how I'm going to do it. And I remember I had a job where I was talking to my boss and I said, you know, I know the company doesn't have the money to give me a raise, but what about XYs? What about some more vacation time? What about this? And he dead looked in my face and goes, your job is your benefit.
Yeah. All right.
And well, I was like,
talk about setting expectations.
Yeah, right. I'm like, okay, cool. You really care about me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, I did not like it at all. We have actually a couple of more texts coming in. We're just getting fiery today. I'm loving this. From the 262, I think employers are trying to get the power back from the worker, get their power back from the worker, because since COVID, employees have realized they're more valuable than ever, whether it's hours, pay, or out of the office, employers are constantly looking to be in control. Employers, yeah. The way the texts come in, they like split words in half, and so I apologize for my reading.
I think it's also interesting of how much of this is tied up in the looming commercial real estate crisis that cities could be facing.
Yeah,
and basically, like all these mortgages that are going to become like come due in empty buildings that are not rented out, and so the developers that have taken out loans can't pay back their loans because they don't have renters because people are not back in the office. And like the doom loop that could create, especially if like there's not more a fast or like an expedited way to transition some of those buildings into like apartments or other things that you can do with it. And so when I think about some of these big companies and these like some tech companies that is like are very much built to be able to do this, it's like, are you invested? Are you invested somewhere that like you need people in the office to justify the expense of your office spaces?
Do not worry. Those are businesses. If something happens, the government will take care of them. From the 715, Amazon hired 100% remote teams the last few years and now are requiring them to, quote unquote, return to the office. But many of them don't live near offices, so they are forced to either relocate or lose their job. Many of them will quit, and Amazon should be more flexible with these teams to find a way to retain them. But alas, Amazon will Amazon as they always done. I like that. Amazon will Amazon.
Amazon's going to Amazon.
They're going to Amazon.
Well, it's everywhere. Interesting because maybe they could take a lesson from J.M. Smucker.
That's right.
So since January 2022, J.M. Smucker has been trying to bring workers back to its headquarters in Orrville, Ohio. Is that also where they make the popcorn? Isn't that the popcorn company, Orville?
The guy's name was Orville Redenbacher.
Yeah, Orville Redenbacher. I think there's two R's in this Orville. I think there's maybe only one in that one. Orville. They got to bring that name back.
That's a great name.
So now, during its 22, so they now do 22 core weeks a year. And this is from the Wall Street Journal that just did a pretty big article on this. So core weeks usually take place every other week, except for the months of July and December, when the company holds just one core week a month. So the plan, so it's basically like in the 22 core weeks, the expectation is that you're there. But the off weeks, you don't have to be there. So I guess the plan initially didn't gain traction with employees, but these days Smucker's home office is between 70 to 80% full during most core weeks. Many employees usually pack their days with meetings, team lunches, and dinners during core weeks, and company leaders usually save meetings that require deep focus for these periods. Quote, the goal of the model is to offer our employees flexibility, foster in-person connection, and drive business results, a spokesperson for the company told Insider by mail or by email. We are committed to consistently evaluating the model to ensure it continues to meet the needs of our employees and the business. However, we are pleased with the results to date. So I think that's really interesting as far as the fact of, instead of it week over week, you need to be here 3 days out of the five each week. It also allows people, so like their VP of marketing lives in San Francisco. So she's traveling more, but like when she's in Orville, she's in Orville. And when she's in San Francisco, she's in San Francisco. And so like when she was when she was asked about it, she was like, I actually feel much more present than I would if I was commuting 3 days a week at a company that was in the Bay Area. And so it'd be interesting to think of like, instead of days out of the week, it's weeks out of the month. And like in those weeks, we know that we are going to do the work that is easier to do in person. And also, because I always think about this part is like the connection you make with your coworkers that can't be replicated on Slack.
Yeah, I could talk about Slack for a while.
Not Slack. I'm talking about any GChat.
I mean, that's the thing is I could talk like those. I understand their usefulness, but sometimes when you see that message come through, you're just like, I just want to watch a TV show. When you're at home, when you're just not doing anything, and you're like, I don't want to look at work right now. So that's a whole different conversation.
I was gonna say that went.
I'm sorry.
I was more meant of like as far as like building connections with the people that you're working with.
Yeah.
And like when you're remote, it's harder to do that over any kind of chatting device. Well, I didn't get to the good, bad, and the ugly, so we'll fire through that when we come back after the break. But we'll also get to some of your texts about what merch we should be doing.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
The question is, we started with, would you buy a Don't Yuck My Yum t-shirt, As Goes Wisconsin t-shirt? And do you have other ideas of merch that we could launch in a merch store? We're crowdsourcing right now, so... stick around. We will come back with the good, the bad, and the depends on who you ask of the headlines. We'll get to some of your merch texts, and there'll be more As Goes Wisconsin in general. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state?
It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 49 overnight under mainly clear skies, southeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 77 tomorrow. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Lows dip down to about 57 tomorrow night. Partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday with daytime highs approaching 85. 91 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 55.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, and Greg Bach is on the board, and we are going to power through some headlines before we wrap up this hour of the show. But next hour, we are welcoming back Natalie Eilbert, who is reports on mental health stories, issues for the Gannett USA Today across the board, but mostly for Green Bay Gazette, and also Madison Lammert, who is the Report for America core member based in Appleton, Post Crescent. They had a article that came out a week or so ago with this headline: Wisconsin preschoolers are 5 times more likely to be expelled than K through 12 students. So that kind of stopped me. And so they're here. They're going to be here to talk more about why that is, what's causing it, potential solutions to that. So that's coming up at 11 o'clock. And then at 11:30, would you pay more for a plane ticket if you didn't have to sit, if you were promised you would not have to sit with babies or children? Is that worth more money to you? So we will get your calls and thoughts on that new business model from a Turkish airline. But for now, good headlines. Let's start there. Biden takes on Big Pharma to lower drug prices. The Biden administration took its biggest step yet to lower drug costs for Americans, dropping the highly anticipated list of 10 prescription drugs that will first be subject to negotiations with Medicare. Medicines include blockbuster treatments like blood thinner Eliquis. I'm gonna butcher all of these names because that's how it goes when you try to pronounce some of these prescription drugs. Eliquis from Bristol Myers Squibb and Pfizer, and the diabetes pill Jardiance from Eli Lilly.
Diabetes.
And Boehringer and Ingelheim.
That's my name too.
Boehringer and Don Jacobs Ingelheimer.
Bo Ringelheimer Schmitz.
That's my name too. But pharma companies are having kittens over this move, one of the most substantial actions ever taken against the industry, and are assembling an army of lawyers to stop it from happening. So this is kind of just the beginning of that story, but at least it's a start as far as some of these life-saving drugs that should not be exorbitantly expensive, and that, you know, especially for people who are on Medicare. And so the government actually taking action to negotiate and use their power to bring down the prices of some of these things, I see as a good thing.
Yeah. Because it helps the people. Hello.
Helps the people. All right. The bad. Jay Rothman, UW System President, gave an interview this week with The Morning Show on WPR, saying starved universities cannot meet Wisconsin's workforce needs. So if you have not been following the fallout from how the UW system basically absorbed the $32 million budget cut that the Republicans in the legislature enforced because they don't like diversity DEI programs. UW-Madison took the biggest hit. I think they absorbed about $7 million of that, with UWM being the next with about $1.8 million. But this is also after UW-Parkside, UW-Platteville recently announced potential furloughs, retirement incentives, and layoffs to address their budget deficits, which is about $15 million. Earlier this month, UW-Oshkosh announced plans to cut 200 staff positions to address a projected $18 million deficit. And so, you know, Jay Rothman's here being like, listen, how are you expecting us to train workers and attract more students to fill the gap of our worker shortage if you keep starving us? So they're petitioning. They're petitioning the legislature's budget committee to reclaim that $32 million, but we will see where that lands.
Good luck.
And for the depends on who you ask. tax breaks. Yesterday, Republican lawmakers say a nearly $3 billion tax cut proposal will bring relief to middle-class Wisconsinites, including retirees. So if you'll remember, on September 20th, this coming in the future, we're going to have a special session. TBD, if the Republicans gavel in and gavel out, as they usually do during special sessions called by Governor Evers. But and that was about using, because after the budget, we still have a $4 billion surplus. And the question is, how should we use that? Should we use that? Or are we going to continue to let it sit there? And the same fight that was happening with the budget is Governor Evers and Democrats are saying workforce programs, which includes paid family leave, childcare. And so that is what the special session coming up in September is supposed to be about. And then yesterday, Republicans are still on the tax breaks. And so yesterday, they introduced a bill that would use the state's surplus to cut income taxes for Wisconsin's third bracket from 5.3% to 4.4% starting next year. And if you remember, the third bracket in Wisconsin ranges from $27,000 a year to $304,000 a year for single filers, or if you're a joint family or joint filers, $36,000 to $405,000. So we have a very big third bracket that is very flat, with people who are living very different experiences as far as how much of their money is going to their taxes based on being in a huge, huge swath of filers in Wisconsin. And so this also includes a bill to expand tax cuts for retirees who are at least 67 years old. So it would be a tax exemption for retirement income up to $100,000 for individuals or $150,000 for joint married filers. And also on Tuesday, Republicans introduced a joint resolution that would make it more difficult to raise taxes in Wisconsin. So under the proposed constitutional amendment, yes, they want to change the Constitution. It would require approval by two-thirds majority of both chambers of the state legislature to raise income, sales, or franchise taxes. So is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Depends on who you ask. But that is our headlines for the day. When we come back, after the top of the hour news, Natalie Eilbert and Madison Lambert will be here to talk about their report about preschoolers getting not only suspended, but expelled. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media
Radio. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media app.
News.